Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Happy Wednesday to you. Well, I hope you had a great weekend honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Day. And just thinking about that a bit and reflecting, you know, it's so important to remember that in Christ, we're reconciled, every tribe, tongue, and every nation. And I think of that scripture that Jesus talks about breaking down the dividing walls of hostility, and it means that we can actually forgive others and see them through God's eyes. It means we can stand shoulder to shoulder with those of different backgrounds, denominations, and even economic status, and we can live as people called to freedom. So I really want you to pray through that truth, and even right now, ask God to show you any seeds of bitterness, of unforgiveness, or anger towards another person. Ask Him to start the healing process today, the process of letting go of that pain and that burden and giving it to Him. Is there a neighbor or someone at church who you've been avoiding because of the past hurts or differences? You can forgive them with God's help. Well, today we'll hear a story of that kind of forgiveness. In honor of the anniversary of this historic Roe v. Wade decision, you'll hear my discussion with an amazing woman who worked through forgiveness in her own life and journey. Now, some of the details here are tough to listen to, so if you have any younger children listening, you might want to make sure they're busy doing something else. Melissa Odin was born in 1977, a survivor of a failed saline infusion abortion. She is the founder and director of For Olivia's Sake in the Abortion Survivors Network. She's been featured on many major media news and ministry outlets. Her life and ministry are featured in the award-winning pro-life documentary, A Voice for Life. And you can learn more about her on the web at melissaodin.com. Melissa, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Hi, Susie.
Yeah, good to talk with you, Melissa. And we like to start out all of our conversations talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a life verse you'd like to share, or even just a verse that's been jumping off the pages at you these days you could share with us.
You know, my favorite verse will always continue to be Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, that's mm-hmm. always going to be one of my favorites because, you know what? God knows each and every one of us.
Yes, He does.
And He knew me well enough to know what my life was going to look like, and He knew what purpose He was going to have for me. And He has that same process for everyone else. It's just it looks a little bit different for me than it does for someone else.
Yes,
and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He writes a beautiful story with each of our lives, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about your upbringing and what your childhood and home life were like.
You know, I thought I had a pretty normal childhood growing up. I grew up in Iowa. You know, I grew up in a home where I'm not ashamed to tell people we didn't have a lot, but we always had a roof over our head and, you know, food to fill our stomachs, and we always had what we needed. And most of all, we had love. We had the love of our adoptive parents, and we were raised in a home that we knew how much God loved us. And you know, I was raised in a home where adoption was our normal. My adoptive parents struggled with infertility for over 15 years of their marriage. So they adopted my older sister. She's 4 years older than I am. And then they adopted me after that failed abortion. No matter what they were told about what my life was going to look like and how much care I was going to require. And then, of course, lo and behold, after 15 years of infertility, along came my little brother.
Oh, wow.
And he's not adopted.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Great story. Well, did you believe in God as a child, or how did he reveal himself to you over the years?
I did. You know, people always ask me, when did you first know him? And I have always known him. I mean, he obviously had his hand on my very life in the womb to save my life from an abortion. But, you know, one of my fondest memories of Christmas was when I was, gosh, I was little, maybe three or four, because I can remember it. And my parents had wrapped up an empty checkbook box, and it was empty. But when we opened it, what we talked about was how that was God's love for us. You know, we can't see it, but it's there, and it's this amazing gift. And so I think that just speaks a lot about my parents and the kind of home that I was raised in. I knew very much about God, and he was an important part of our lives.
Hmm. Well, then you were a teenager. That's when you learned the truth about your birth and abortion, the failed abortion. Tell us how you found out about that part of your story.
Yeah, it was one of those things that we didn't see coming. You know, my parents have always said they never wanted me to find out the truth. And I knew I was adopted. I knew I was born premature. Those didn't seem like big deals to me. But when I was 14, the quote-unquote unthinkable thing happened at our house. My older sister faced an unplanned pregnancy as a high school student. And I always call that the when the rubber hits the road kind of moment. Because we can be raised in homes where we know about the sanctity of life and the gift of adoption. But it isn't until something like that happens and your beliefs are called to be put into action that sometimes people don't know, you know, what they truly believe and how they're going to put that into action. And, you know, like so many young women, my own sister, faced with that pregnancy, was strongly considering having an abortion. But I am so grateful for her that she turned to our parents knowing that they were going to love her and support her no matter what she was going through. And when she told them about her pregnancy, they felt called to share with her about my survival in the hopes that it would save the life of their grandchild. And so they told her, and she is the one who kind of led me on to the fact that there was more to the story of my life. And it was like 22 years ago on a fall night that I had to sit our mother down and ask her to explain to me why it was that my sister felt she was so much more wanted than her biological parents than I was.
Mm.
And that's how the truth came out.
Wow. So first, before we hear about your response, what was your sister's response to that part of your story?
I am so, and this is when I get choked up, I am just so grateful that when she found out the truth about my life, she understood in a new way what abortion meant and how precious life is. And so she has four children, the oldest of which is my nephew, who was the unplanned pregnancy. And he's now married and has a child of his own.
Hmm.
What a gift that is.
Absolutely. And so you sit down with your mom and say, okay, what's the rest of the story? How did she tell you, and how did you feel?
You know, we sat for the longest time and engaged in, you know, a conversation. And, you know, my mom said, you know, we never meant to keep it from you. There was just no easy way to tell you this. She said, honey, we love you. We'll always love you. And then she just had to say it. She said, Melissa, your mother had an abortion during her pregnancy with you, and you survived it. And all I can remember now, you know, two decades later, is that my mom and I just sat on the couch in that dark of night, just holding one another for what seemed like hours. Both of us just overcome with sobs because it was so devastating. You know, I was raised to know that my birth parents loved me, that they made an adoption plan for me. And so to hear that I survived an abortion, you know, my 14-year-old mind was saying, you didn't love me. You didn't love me the way I thought you loved me. And of course, what I didn't know at the time was that there are lots of other dynamics that were put into play. My birth parents did love me. They didn't want to abort me. But back then, what it felt like was I was not loved, and I was a mistake, and I'm unwanted. And now I have this terrible secret that I should be ashamed about, because what are people going to think about me? What are they going to say when they find out about what happened to me? We know what the world says about abortion and lives that are ended by it, right?
Mm.
It's not yet a human. You can get rid of that one. Another one will come along someday. So it was a big struggle.
Mm. And so based on some of the things I read, and you can clarify it, it sounded like she was about 6 months along and she opted for the saline abortion. Even explain what a saline abortion is and does.
Mm-hmm. The saline infusion abortion was common back in the 1970s. And what it involved, unfortunately, was injecting a toxic salt solution into the amniotic fluid surrounding me in the womb. The intent of that toxic salt solution was to scald me to death from the outside in. And so here that toxic salt solution was delivered. I soaked in it. It should have been completed within 3 days, but for some unknown reason, my birth mother's abortion took place over 5 days. So I soaked in that toxic salt solution 2 days longer than what I even should have. And then her premature labor was induced, and she was meant to give birth to a deceased child in 1977. But by the grace of God, I survived.
And what kind of shape were you in when you were born, Melissa?
You know, I was, of course, very, very ill when I survived. That abortion was completed thinking my birth mother was less than 5 months pregnant. But the fact that I was able to live and I weighed a little less than 3 pounds, I was 2 pounds, 14 ounces when I survived, pointed to the fact she was further along in her pregnancy. And when I obtained my medical records a few years ago, one of the first notations by a doctor was that I looked like I was about 31 weeks gestational age when I survived. And, you know, what I know now is that it wasn't her choice to go in and have that abortion. She was forced by her own mother, which, you know, is an experience that still takes place in our world today. Over 64% of women report being coerced into having an abortion. 64%.
Mm.
So someone else makes that choice for them or puts them in that position that abortion is the only option. And, you know, sadly for my birth mother, it was her mother, my grandmother, who literally forced her. My grandmother was a nurse and, you know, unfortunately pulled the strings that it took to bypass hospital procedures and have this abortion completed. And, you know, when I first survived, as I shared, I was very ill. And what I now know is that it was my own grandmother who delivered me at the hospital. And sadly, it was also my own grandmother who told the nurses to leave me to die.
Mm.
Which did happen initially, looking through my medical records. After about 5 minutes, I was near death, even though when I was delivered, I was actually in pretty good health for a baby who had no prenatal care and was born prematurely. But then I was near death and suffering from severe respiratory and liver problems, suffering from seizures. But even though my grandmother gave that order to the nurses, I have two nurses that I now know of who rallied against my own grandmother for the medical care to be provided to me. And so because of those nurses, I'm alive today, I have no doubt.
That's absolutely amazing. And then your adoptive parents, when they adopted you, did you continue to have health problems when they adopted you?
When my adoptive parents first met me, I was still in the neonatal intensive care unit. I was there for about 3 months. Recovering because, you know, as I shared, I had the seizures and the respiratory and liver problems. I was too weak to suck from a bottle, and so I was fed through IV lines. And the prognosis for my life was very poor. You know, they initially had told my adoptive parents that I wouldn't continue to live past my infancy. And if I did, I was going to suffer from multiple disabilities ranging from being blind and deaf to having emotional and mental disabilities. But I went home to my family just 3 months after surviving the abortion. And by the time I was 5 years old, I had received a clean bill of health from the doctors.
That's amazing. And that your precious adoptive parents took you no matter what, just because they wanted you. You know, I mean, that's so beautiful, isn't it?
It is. And my mom, you know, both my parents tell the story of how the first time they laid eyes on me, that little girl in the incubator fighting for life full of tubes and wires, the first time they laid eyes on me, my parents always say they fell in love with me.
Hmm.
And my mom always tells people the story of how she first held me in the palm of her hand, because that's where I fit at the time. She always tells people that when she held me, she knew I was going to be okay. You know, my parents knew they were called to be my parents, and they believed in me, and they loved me into life.
That's just such a beautiful story. Melissa, do you have any health issues or ramifications today?
I don't. I am perfectly healthy today, which I know is so hard for some people to wrap their head around. You know, I had a doctor just last week who was just kind of looking at me, and he was looking through my medical chart, and I said, is there something you're looking for? Can I help you? And he said, well, I'm looking for it to say here all the medication you've had to be on throughout your life to deal with this emotionally and to look at all of the physical ailments you should be suffering. And he said, you know, this makes no sense except by faith. And I said, absolutely. Where you want to see all those things, just put Jesus.
Amen. Wow, I'm talking to Melissa Oden today. She is an abortion survivor with an amazing story, and it doesn't stop there. There's more to this story. We've got some Faith Radio resources to give away. If you've got a question, I want to give Melissa as much time as possible so you can give your question to Grace. She'll type it in the board. I'll ask Melissa, and we'll get you a book. I've got a copy of Lee Cummings' Be Radiant. Its subtitle is Become Who God Meant You to Be, Overextended by Lisa Harper, and Loving Most of It, she says. Encouragement for Today. It's a Proverbs 31 Ministries devotional. And then One Light Still Shines. Do you remember I had Marie Monville on? She's the wife of the husband who was guilty of the shooting, the Amish school shooting. Her story is unbelievable. So we've got two copies of each of these books. So if you've got a question, we're going to play a song now, and I'm going to open the phone lines and let Grace take your questions, and we'll continue on with Melissa.
Tell me I'm forgiven and loved, 'cause I hear it from the street corner priest, yes. On how God is loving, now man can be clean. But my joy has been on holiday, and my peace is almost passed away. Tell me I'm forgiven and free. Oh, I tried and tried to rectify my hopeless situation, but by the lie, I still have work to do. Lost its appeal. Dirty deeds have done me in. Oh, but that can't stop the faithful friend giving mercy once again. As you heal, here it is, I'm feeling. Oh, 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 I tried and tried to rectify my hopeless situation, but I bother. My hopeless situation, and his blood commands my guilt to leave. Now on Calvary I stand, empty pockets, open hands. Oh, there is no condemnation. forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
You know, Kevin and I were, during our prayer time this morning, we're just talking about when we hurt each other, we don't know what we're doing. And that's why Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Every choice that we make, when we step on someone else, when we hurt someone else, we're doing it out of blindness, ignorance. We have no idea what we're doing. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Well, I'm talking to Melissa Oden today. She's got an amazing story. She's an abortion survivor, and she's been unpacking the story. And Melissa, so you find out as a teenager that this was a saline abortion, and you had health problems in the first few months of your life, but now you're this intelligent, godly woman who's married and has a daughter of her own. It's amazing to me. Did you at any point as this story was unfolding before you deal with bitterness, anger, unforgiveness?
Early on, yes. You know, when I first found out about surviving the abortion, I was just so wounded. But yes, I was angry for the first time towards my biological parents. But, you know, Susie, I didn't stay angry for very long. You know, I mean, I can't even tell you how long I was angry. It was that short of a period because, you know, the Holy Spirit just made it so clear to me and changed my heart to let me know there's nothing for me to be angry about. Just like you said, you know, when we do things in this life, we do them blindly. We don't understand, you know, the implications for the decisions that we make, and that those decisions are going to change people's lives forever. And so, you know, I understood that at the age of 14, that I am not a victim. You know what? I am an overcomer by the blood of Jesus, just like we all are. But God created me to overcome and to have a purpose, and he gave me the gift of a family and life and health. And so, no, I can't be angry. But yes, I was initially. And, you know, I'm sure you see it too. I come across so many people in the world today who have been through, you know, I don't want to say less because I don't want to trivialize anybody's experiences. But, you know, people who have been through maybe more minor experiences than mine, who find it nearly impossible to forgive. And for me, I always have to tell people, forgiveness is more about what it's going to do for you than what it's going to do for someone else. Because offering my family forgiveness and wanting them to know that truly, truly set me free decades ago. And I know I would not be the woman that I am today if I had not forgiven them, just as Jesus, you know, forgave us by dying on the cross.
Wow, so amazing. Did your grandparents, your biological grandparents, ever see the need for forgiveness, or how have they responded to you?
You know, when I was 19, I started looking for my biological family, you know, in part to find answers and also to let them know that I loved them and I had forgiven them. I didn't know, you know, about the force that took place and, you know, my grandmother's demands that I be left to die or that it was kept secret. I know that now my survival is kept a secret from my biological parents. So I didn't know all those things then, but I still would have went looking for all of them if I would have known that. But it took me 10 years to find my birth parents. And during those 10 years, I was trying to find my medical records to be able to share the truth with the world, because there are naysayers. You know, I hear it from time to time, she's got to be making this up. She's perfectly normal. Look at her. Yes, miracles happen. Miracles happen every day if we open our eyes. But I found my birth family in 2007 and sent my birth father a letter. I was actually living in the same city that he was. I didn't know that, of course. But unfortunately, my birth father never responded to the letter that I sent him before he passed away.
This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking with abortion survivor Melissa Oden about her survival and the search for her birth parents. We'll be back with the rest of her story in just a minute.
God is able, and he will never fail.
glad to have you along this afternoon. We're having a powerful conversation with Melissa Oden about her own journey to forgiveness after learning her birth mother tried to abort her. If you missed part one, you can find this whole program at our website at myfaithradio.com. Melissa, right before the break, you said you contacted your biological father and that he happened to live in the same city you lived in. Take it from there.
Yeah, you know, I moved to that city in my 20s, knowing that that's where the abortion had taken place, but never suspecting decades later that my birth father was there. But, you know, there he was in true God fashion. But unfortunately, as I shared, my birth father never responded to my letter, probably out of shock more than anything, and passed away about 6 months after I sent it. I did contact my birth mother's parents about that same time in 2007, not knowing at the time the role that they played in everything happening, but asking them to reach out to my birth mother on my behalf because I couldn't find her through my searching. And, you know, I never expected to hear back from them because I hadn't heard back from my birth father. But just a few days after sending them a letter, I received one in return, and it was my grandfather. And in that letter, he admitted to the abortion taking place, which I think was incredibly courageous of him. And he told me some things about the family and, you know, a couple of important truths that speak to my ministry. And I think they speak to probably some of your listeners' lives. And so I want to share those. He had said that, first of all, my birth mother had never told anyone about her abortion. I know that she's not alone in that. Mm-hmm. You know, there are probably people listening right now who have carried that secret throughout their life. And so, you know, I want anybody listening to know that if they are in that position, they've been impacted by an abortion, that there is somebody to talk to. You know, first of all, reach out to God in prayer. You know, he loves you. He wants to offer that love and that forgiveness to you if only you approach him. And, you know, secondly, there's pregnancy centers and other pro-life organizations out there that can offer resources and support on that path of healing. So there is somebody to talk to. But, you know, the other important truth that he shared about my family, my birth mother's family, was that in recent years, they had become estranged. They were no longer speaking, and so they wouldn't pass along my message of forgiveness. And I didn't understand it at the time, but I understand it now, knowing what I do. And I know that this also speaks to many people's families. Abortion doesn't just end a life. It ends a life and forever changes the lives of everyone around that woman. So it affects the man and grandparents and siblings and aunts and uncles. Whether it's talked about or not, abortion impacts everyone and changes relationships. And so that's what happened in my birth mother's family. Everyone is forever changed by that force, that decision that was made to end my life, you know, 36 years ago. And so that was the last time I heard from them, was back in 2007.
And then you did actually get connected with your biological mom. How did that happen?
I did. You know, people have been praying for years that I'd be able to meet her someday. And it's not that I doubted God. I just, you know, I've learned to trust in his time and what his plan is. So I was just stunned this past year when one of my cousins reached out to me. She was a teenager when all of this happened, and she knew about it. And she reached out to me and, you know, ushered in some of these truths about the force that took place and my grandmother delivering me. And sadly, she also is the one who had to tell me that my survival was kept a secret from my birth parents.
Mm.
And that's so hard. That's probably the hardest part for me, Susie, is because I know how much pain my birth parents went through. I know how that abortion changed their lives forever. And yet people saw that and they still kept it a secret. And that hurts me.
Wow. You know,
that hurts me.
It's unbelievable. I also co-host a show after this with Focus on the Families, Greg Smalley, and we just did a show last week on family secrets. And if you missed it, you might need to listen because this is exactly what she's talking about, that it's just poisonous and toxic and painful. I can only imagine this twofold injury that your biological mom endured. One, being forced as a teenager. Two, thinking she could possibly have had a relationship with you all these years to find out that this was kept from her. How, oh my goodness, now you got to connect with her, right?
I have. You know, my cousin shared the truth and put me in touch with one of my half-sisters, who I haven't met yet either, but we email usually once a week, and I'm so blessed to have her in my life. And my birth mother passes along messages through my half-sister, and even sent me an email on my birthday this past year for the first time. And, you know, her words really fit with what you said, Susie. You know, she said, 36 years ago today, you were robbed from me. And, you know, she is in a place of still a lot of pain, and not the pain that I lived. I mean, that brings her immense joy. She is cheering me on, saying, Melissa, keep doing what you're doing. You know, I need you to do this. But she is still in so much pain because of what was done to her and what continued to be done to her over decades. You know, people telling her, don't talk about it. You know, don't ever talk about it, because what are people going to think? What are people going to say? You know, you don't want people to know what you did. And then to tell her that I passed away, you know, the guilt that she felt thinking that I had died that day. So it's a process for her. But just in the last few months, I have seen her really starting to heal, and she wants to forgive. But it's going to be a long process for her.
Does it sound like she'll ever be open to meeting you face to face?
Absolutely. You know, we've already kind of, you know, exchanged emails about that. You know, I know that we both want to meet, but because I've walked a, you know, 20 some years of healing, I know what she needs to go through before that's probably a good idea. You know, even though I'm going to bring healing to her, just like my daughter brought healing to me, there's still some healing she needs to go through, I think.
You know, she is so blessed to have you as a biological daughter. I mean, she is, look what God has done in you, through you, and who you are, the kind of person you've become. I can't wait for that part of the story to come to fruition, Melissa, because I really believe that God's going to restore the years that enemy has stolen from her in a relationship with you. I just believe it.
Absolutely. You know, reconciliation is so, so huge. You know, we know that that's what Jesus did for us. But, you know, I think it's easy to take that for granted sometimes. You know, I know every single thing I do in my life is what God intends me to do. And that's what I want to do every single day, is serve him and walk the path that he wants me to. But what I figured out through this, Susie, is loving my birth parents, you know, sharing the truth with them, sharing the truth with the world. That's the most important thing I could ever do with my life. And I want other people to experience that too.
Well, I just praise God for your story. And you and I talked about this before the live show, but that women so often that I've heard, women who've endured abortion and on the other side have initially went into it thinking, I have no choice. So they made this choice thinking, I've got no other options because of family pressure, because of whatever their circumstances are, thinking it will be a quick fix, getting on the other side and thinking it is a lifetime of torment. Talk to that woman maybe who's in that situation, or the man whose wife or partner, whoever, is pregnant, thinking we have no other options. What do you say to them?
You know, first of all, like you said, Susie, abortion is not a quick fix. You know, we live in a world that may say that abortion is the solution, but abortion, ending a life, is never the solution to a problem. What it does is create more problems. You may not see them right away, but they're going to pop up and they're going to last a lifetime. So, you know, it's not a quick fix, but there are other solutions out there, and people who are willing to talk to you about those other options. You know, you are not alone. There's always somebody you can turn to. You can even chat with somebody on the internet. You can connect with somebody by the phone. You can go to a pregnancy center. You can go to a church or another organization. There is always going to be somebody who will support you and not force or coerce you into making a decision or a choice that you may regret.
Yeah. Ask the Lord, show me a way out, and he will show you a way. He'll open a door. He'll make a way. And I think that is just the lie of the enemy, that there is just no other option. That's a lie, because there always is another option. So what about the person? I have a friend, dear friend, who years ago, she was sitting in church, and it was a pro-life Sunday, and a speaker got up and spoke about pro-life, the message, and just the issue of abortion, and something rocked her world, and she realized that she remembered that she'd had an abortion that she had chosen to forget, and she said, I truly had functioned my whole life, had children, and forgot until that moment, and she said she started to shake and tremble, and it just unearthed her, but really God allowed it, because then she went through a process of deep, deep healing, and healing is needed. So what do you say to the person, to the man or the woman who's responsible for aborting a child, and the condemnation, the quiet condemnation they're walking with? What can you say to them?
You know, it shouldn't be kept a secret, and it doesn't need to be. You know, it doesn't mean you take the public stage like me, but what it does mean is that you find somebody safe that you trust, that you can talk to let them know, you know, what you've done or what role you played in the past and how it's affected you. Because, you know, we've mentioned a couple times today, you know, secrets are poisonous. And the enemy wants us to feel ashamed and embarrassed and, you know, feel guilty. And those things hold us back. And we know that God loves us and forgives us and wants us to experience forgiveness and love and joy in our lives. So, you know, don't believe the lies of the enemy that it should be kept quiet. Find somebody that you can talk to. Turn to a pregnancy center or another pro-life organization for, you know, healing support or retreats, and start on that path of healing. It will change your life in a really beautiful way.
So appreciate that, Melissa. And that's the thing, you know, Jesus came to seek and save the lost and to show us that he's got a story that he wants to write with our lives that's redemptive and beautiful, and he wants to heal. That enemy is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to hear a song. We'll hear more from Melissa in just a moment. talking to Melissa Oden today about her absolutely amazing story. She's an abortion survivor, gracious woman of God, being used all over the place to really save lives and to promote healing. And I appreciate your heart so much. And I appreciate your conviction to speak on behalf of the voiceless Melissa. Talk about the ministries that you've formed as a result of your story.
Sure. The one ministry that is pretty new that I like to talk to people about is the Abortion Survivors Network. You know, when I found out that I was a survivor, I felt very alone. And I kept thinking, you know, nobody's ever going to understand what it's like to be me. And then when I was about 19, I discovered Gianna Jessen, who is another abortion survivor. And simply knowing there was even one other person gave me a lot of strength on this journey. And so, you know, throughout my years of ministry work, wherever I would go, I would get emails or phone calls from people who would say, I'm a survivor too. And I kept thinking, you know, this is one of the world's greatest secrets. And so many people feel alone and don't know where to turn to for support or for healing. And so back in 2012, I formed the Abortion Survivors Network, and people can just go to theabortionsurvivors.com and, you know, read relevant news articles, research about failed abortions and survivors, but also, you know, read the stories of people from across the world who want to share their stories with other people about surviving abortions.
What's the common issue that abortion survivors deal with? Would it be rejection, anger, unforgiveness?
Rejection is probably the biggest one. You know, what surprised me as I met other survivors is that a large majority were raised by their biological families who tried to abort them.
Mm.
I had never even considered that. It was very short-sighted of me, but I had never even thought about that. And so it's very interesting to learn from other survivors. They are able to forgive and to love just like me, but what they have experienced was immense rejection, even within their biological family. But then, of course, just like me, the rejection from the greater world when you tell people about what happened to you. So I would say rejection is probably the most common theme, but right behind that, forgiveness, not unforgiveness.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. How has the pro-choice community responded to your story?
I know, right? You know what? There are times where the pro-abortion industry will, you know, come out and attack me or a fellow survivor. You know, usually what they'll try to say is, well, she's got to be making that up. You know, I'm the only survivor who has the extensive medical records that I do and all of the testimony of my biological family and meeting medical professionals who cared for me. So, you know, that's a really unsuccessful argument against me. But, you know, then what it results in is name calling. They'll say things like, isn't she funny looking? She has crazy eyes. It's rather absurd. You know, the first time it happened years ago, I was very upset. But you know what? We know what scripture says about persecution, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are blessed. We are blessed when we are persecuted in his name. And so, you know, I know the truth and I'm willing to stand in that truth. And, you know, those slings and arrows don't hurt me.
Mm, wow, that's amazing. I watched an interview of you, a YouTube interview on YouTube. And one of the things you said that just hit me so hard is you said, the cycle of pain and suffering ends with me. And that is so good. Talk more about what it's like to be a cycle breaker.
You know, it's a blessing to be a cycle breaker. You know, I can't believe God has given me this life and that he trusts me enough to serve him in the ways that I do. But for me, the most important role that I have played is cycle breaker, to say, you know what, that pain from 36 years ago and the lasting effect it has had on my birth family and on the world, it does end with me. You know, I'm going to usher in truth that comes out of love. I'm going to offer people forgiveness. I'm going to raise a family of my own that stands before God and says, we are yours, Lord. Use us to bring light into the world. And so, you know, the darkness has ended. And, you know, I want that for other people and other families.
I just marvel at this story. I'm just stunned by it. And you've got a beautiful little daughter, Olivia. Tell us more about her.
You know, as a mom, this is when I get choked up. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I shared my story publicly back in 2007, I was scared to death, you know, and I kept thinking, I can't do this again. You know, I'm so sick to my stomach. I'm not cut out for being a public speaker. You know, I went home and discovered that I was pregnant with Olivia. That first time I spoke, I was just a few days pregnant with her. And I know that that was a sure sign from God that I was doing exactly what my life had been saved for. Mm-hmm. And she has brought so much blessing into our lives. You know, I always tell people, I just can't believe God trusts me with her. Mm-hmm. You know, she is his, but he has entrusted her to us. And, you know, she knows what happened to me. She knows about abortion, unfortunately. But at 5 years old, she is the one questioning things and wondering how this can happen, but at the same time saying, Mommy, I will do this with you because we'll get it done quicker that way.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely amazing. Wow. Well, this has been such a powerful, powerful time, Melissa. Appreciate your honesty and your just conviction. And as we're wrapping up, I'm wondering if you would pray. I'm just thinking there's someone listening today who's just dealing with the condemnation of abortion. And would you pray for their healing?
Absolutely. Father God, we just come to you today humbly in prayer. First of all, thanking you for the gift of life. You know, may we not take it for granted that we were given this gift of life by you. But secondly, we just come to you, Lord, asking for your continued presence in our lives. Let us feel your love. Let us accept your love. Let us accept the forgiveness and the healing that you are offering to us. And Lord, let us not feel ashamed by the choices we've made in our lives. Let us know that there is hope and there is healing and that there is more for us. You intend more for us than we can even imagine. So we humbly approach you with those prayers today, Lord. And we just thank you for the gift of this life and this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Melissa, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, Susie.
And if you need more help regarding post-abortion ministry, we've got a weekly show on Sunday nights with Kim Cotola called Cradle My Heart. You can catch podcasts at any time, but it's a ministry specifically for you if you're dealing with the pain of child loss and the after effects of abortion.
God is able.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And you can find this whole interview at our website at myfaithradio.com, along with podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. I'll be talking with Pastor Jeff Mannion about finding true contentment in a culture that pushes us to want more. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.